Please be seated. Wow. I just stand in awe at the goodness and greatness of God, huh? You know, He's called us to be workmen of His wonderful Word. And there's nothing greater for man to learn than the Word of God. Because it unfolds how big and loving and great God is and what He's made available for you and me so that we can walk in victory. It's fantastic. So I'm real blessed that we're taking the time to look at keys that are in the Scriptures that help us understand the Word of God. I mean, this is the most important word anywhere. And so we want to get it right. We want to get it correct. And that's why God said, study, be diligent to show yourselves as workmen, rightly dividing the Word of God. So we get it right. Well, I want to share a key with you that really, I think this particular key, where people don't understand it or use it, really miss out on understanding God's Word, where we get a lot of confusion. And when there's confusion, there's mistrust, and people just don't believe the Word of God. But if you can see the Word of God unfold and fit like a hand in a glove, then you can trust it, you can believe it, you can walk out on it. This particular key I want to share with you is to whom it is speaking, of whom it is true, and to whom it is addressed. Did you ever get a letter in the mail? You're excited to get mail, aren't you? Get some letter in the mail. This looks pretty official. Let me open this up right away. And you open it up, and it says, you're summoned to go to court. What did I do, you know? But then you look at it a little closer, and oh, this is my neighbor's mail. It was misdelivered to me. It's not really addressed to me. You're real thankful, aren't you? Well, a lot of people think that the Word of God is addressed to them, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. But it's not. It is not. God has purposed in His Word to communicate to different groups. And let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, our next slide here. You know, too often Christians speak of the Bible that it all applies to them directly. There's a song, a Christian song that says, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Sounds like a neat little song, but it's not true. It really isn't. The Word of God is not addressed to all of us at one time. And we have in 1 Corinthians 10:32 where God identifies three groups of people. It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So we've got three groups here that God identifies. Now, let's understand this word Jew, okay? And when I say understand it, let's understand it from a biblical perspective, not from my personal interpretation of the word, but how does God use it? So, although the word Jew or Judean refers to the tribe of Judah, it is used to describe all the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, Israelites, if you will. They were the descendants of Abraham through the line of his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, right? From his sons came the 12 tribes of Israel, also known as the children of Israel. Then there were those who were proselytes through circumcision and adherence to the law. And although they did not have physical seed, they were reckoned to be Jews or Judeans. Okay, so that is the Jew. When we see this word Jew or Judean, refers to the children of Israel. Now, Gentiles is everybody else but the Jews. Okay? And since the day of Pentecost, we have a third group, the church. Those who are born again of God's Spirit. They've confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and they are saved. And they are saved and brought into the family of God, the church of God. So these are the three groups that we have. Now there's a wonderful scripture, Galatians. We've got a slide for that. 3:28. And Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. Now, we have the word Greek in here. And in the King James, the word Greek and Gentile are used interchangeably. Okay? So it's talking about the Gentiles. Neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And this is the born-again one. When you're born again, you are, have Christ within. You are in Christ Jesus. So, now the parts of the Bible that specifically is addressed to the church are the epistles of Paul. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, right? 1 and 2 Thessalonians. These epistles are commonly called the church epistles. Generally speaking, those are what are addressed to us, the born-again ones. And those are the ones that tell us how wonderful we are before God, what he has provided for us, who we are in Christ. Now, there are some sections within these church epistles that, as you read it, it applies to Gentiles and to the Jews. And we'll see an example of that a little later on. So, these are letters addressed to the church. The churches are to the saints, okay? Then there are other letters that God has inspired Paul to write to individuals. Example of this would be 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. So there's Hebrews and James was written to born-again ones, but those who were zealous for the law. So these are some examples of what the scriptures, what part of the scriptures are addressed to particular groups of people. You know, I've got a handout. Why don't we go ahead and make that available for notes that you can see, kind of outline to what sections the Bibles are addressed, what different books. But what about the Old Testament? I've been looking at the New Testament here, right? We've been talking about that. But what about the Old Testament scriptures? Who are they written to? Well, we're going to look at some examples here. We don't have slides necessarily for all these, but let's take a look, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, there are beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth, whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud, among the beasts you shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them which chew the cud or of them that divide the hoof. So this was a dietary laws given to the children of Israel, what they could eat and not eat. All right? Now let's go to Timothy and see what he says, what is written there in light of what's good to eat and what's not. Right now there's nothing in here about In-N-Out Burgers, so that came later on, right? All right. But 1 Timothy 4:4, we don't have a slide on that. It says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So there seems to be a contradiction here, doesn't there? And there's no contradiction because you have to understand who it's addressed to. Who does it apply for? In the Old Testament, it was for the Jews, the children of Israel. They couldn't eat certain animals. And they couldn't have crab cakes and other crustaceans and other critters, right? But now, to the church, no limits. No limits. Long as you pray about it, huh? God covers it for you. So now you can a little bit understand when we read certain sections of the Bible, we've got to look to whom it's addressed. Who does it apply to? Now let's look at Deuteronomy, another example here. Deuteronomy 16:16. "Three times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." So these instructions are given regarding various feasts that Israel needed to adhere to. Now, what about the Church of God? Well, we'll take a look at that in a moment, but I want to show you another example in Leviticus 23, okay? And this deals with the weekly Sabbath, all right? So we saw in Deuteronomy about these different feasts that they need to go to, adhere to, and the male specifically. And now let's look at the Sabbath day, Leviticus 23, 1 and 3. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them," now this is talking to the children of Israel, "concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." So here we have the law pertaining to weekly Sabbaths, as well as all these special Sabbaths that were given to Israel. Now let's read a verse that's addressed to those who are in the Church of God. Colossians 3:16. So I don't have a verse on that on the screen, but take a look at it in your Bible. Colossians 2:16. "Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days." Wow, if you didn't know any better, you're kind of reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy, looking at, well, I've got to go to these feasts, I've got to honor the Sabbath day, and then you read Colossians and say, hey, everything's, don't judge by what you eat, or judge where you go, or respect of a holy day, a new moon, or a Sabbath day. So how do you understand that? Whom is it addressed to, right? The first part here, addressed to the children of Israel. This is addressed to the Church of God. And I hope you're seeing here the importance of working the Scriptures, using these keys so that you can understand the Scriptures. Because what happens is people will read the Scriptures, they'll read something like we just read, and if they don't understand the key of to whom it's addressed, they're kind of scratching their head. Well, God, what do you want us to do? And he makes it clear by to whom it's addressed, right? That way, as we understand, we can start really appreciating God's Word. We can start applying the Word because it makes sense. It fits. Now, what about the four Gospels? We haven't talked about the four Gospels. Well, let's take a look at the four Gospels. And, you know, the words of Jesus are recorded here in the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes. And are they written to the church? Well, let's look at Matthew, if you will. Matthew 15. Matthew 15:22. Actually, let's just read 24. I think we'll just go to the key verse here. And here's Jesus saying, but he answered, this verse 24 in Matthew 15, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of what? The house of Israel. Jesus is saying this. This is who I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So that's what his focus was on. Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10. You know, the words of Jesus Christ were for Israel. You know, when he commissioned others, where did he send them? Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the ways of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Christ was sent to Israel to pay the ultimate price to redeem Israel. All right? Okay. Now, Romans 15:8. We do have a slide on this. Romans 15:8. Let's take a look at that. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. Now, what does it mean when the Bible talks about the circumcision? Israel, right? To Israel. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So here again, we're just seeing that Jesus Christ came to Israel. Now, the work that he did came into application for all mankind, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves the world. So Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind, the whole world, and yet his ministry when he was on earth was to Israel. But the results of what he did affected every man and woman and child that would ever be born, right? Because God so loved the world. And Jesus Christ paid that ultimate price. The circumcision is Israel. Since Jesus Christ's ministry, as recorded in the Gospels, was to Israel and not to the Gentiles or to the church of God, we must not interpret his words as being to us. But so many things that he spoke have great application to our lives. A lot of what he said are great truths that we can understand and appreciate and apply in our lives. So don't get me, you know, don't get me wrong here that his words, well, then I just don't look at it, what he said. No, what he said is fantastic, phenomenal. And so we can learn so much from what he said. They may be applied, these wonderful words, to us only if they are in agreement with that which is written to us, okay? When you honestly compare the Gospels with the church epistles, you are struck by the radical differences between them. Endeavoring to make the church epistles conform to the message of the gospel is a fruitless activity. Much of what Jesus spoke was true at the time he spoke it and to the people to whom he spoke. And yes, we can learn great truths from the four gospels. All right, what about the laws of the Old Testament? Ten Commandments. What about those? Do those apply to me? Am I under the Ten Commandments? Well, let's look at Romans 10:4. Romans 10:4, we have a slide on that. Okay. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every man that believeth. So Jesus Christ did away with the law. All the law that was to Israel in the Old Testament was done away with by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You don't have to walk by the law of the Old Testament because Jesus Christ did away with it. Here's another one. Romans 7, 6. I don't think we have a slide for this one. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You know, Paul was a devout Jew, right? And he describes himself as a member of the church of God, and thus he is not under the law. Look at Galatians 2:19. It says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, though I might live unto God." And then Galatians 5:1, we do have a slide for that. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not entangled again, be not entangled again, with the yoke of bondage." Okay, so it's very clear in that which is addressed to us, the church, that we're not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. Yeah, wow. Pretty neat, huh? So we have it pretty good. We have it very good. Now there's a tremendous section in God's Word that's addressed to us that is one of the highlights of the truths that we could adhere to and rejoice in. And that is in Romans chapter 8. The end of Romans chapter 8. It talks about who can separate us from the love of God. And we find out there that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors, right? Yeah, let's look at this section a little bit closer. Romans 8. And let's see, I think this is verse 31. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Is that verse 31? Huh? 35. Let's start there. Verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." This is a quote from the Old Testament. What's the next verse say? "No, no, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow, God makes a great point here that the love of God is in us and nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, do you believe that? Boy, we believe that we can walk with great victory, right? Great excitement in our life because the love of God is not going to be taken away from us. So as you read the scriptures here in Romans, all right, I'm going to read a few more scriptures here. So let's do that. Maybe there's some other goodies to learn from here. So we keep reading. And in chapter 9, I'm going to move very quickly here, we see some verses talking about Israel and Gentiles. So something's coming into play here, referring to Israel and the Gentiles. So we better pay close attention here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 1 says that Paul's heart's desire is that Israel might be what? Saved. He wants the children of Israel, this group, to get born again, get into the church of God, get saved. And how does a person get saved? Romans 10:9, right? You know, it's interesting. Romans generally is addressed to the church, but we're seeing here, and we'll see some other verses, where he refers to Jews and Gentiles. And of course, if you're already born again, you don't need to hear a verse about it. But here he's talking about the Jews, Israel, okay? That's why we have Romans 10:9, where we do. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Yes, yes. So pretty exciting here. I love it. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ here. And these Jews can get born again and saved. And we finally get to chapter 11. Move to the next chapter. And we get to chapter 11, verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? His people. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. Oh, so here this comes up again, Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So he's talking about Israel here. And we move to verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. The Old Testament, they had to get it by works, but we have it by grace, right? Ephesians, by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, in verse 13, Paul starts talking to the Gentiles. We have this verse 13, a slide on here. For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my own office. So here, Paul was to hold forth the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles. So he's talking to Israel. Now he's talking to the Gentiles. And we get to verse 21 and 22. And it says, for if God spared not the natural branches. Now the natural branches refers to Israel. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now, who would thee be? He's been talking to the Gentiles. So here he's talking to Israel, the natural branches, and says, also spare not thee, the Gentile. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, Gentiles, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Oh, my goodness. I just read a few chapters earlier. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And now he's talking about being cut off. But who is it addressed to? Israel and Gentiles. The Gentiles. If they don't continue in his goodness, they're going to be cut off. If somebody doesn't get born again of God's Spirit, they're going to miss the boat, right? Big time. So to continue in the goodness of God for the Gentiles is to confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. That's the goodness of God for them. To get born again, get into the family of God. Wow. Once you understand in whom it is speaking, of whom it is true, and to whom it is addressed, this section from the 11th chapter of Romans fits within the context and does not contradict the other sections. So, do you see how critical this is to whom it's addressed? Because you get all confused here. You know, am I going to get cut off or is God going to take care of me? And as long as we see who it's addressed to, no problem at all. Because God's never going to let the love of God come away from us, right? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 5:5. And see how important this is. If you work the word and it fits, then you can get excited about it. There's no confusion. You can walk for God. You can believe what he says, that you're more than a conqueror, right? Yes, yes, because you know he's not going to cut off. The Gentiles might cut their necks off. In Israel, if they don't get into the goodness of God, my golly. So, what a great key to know and to appreciate. Pretty neat, huh? Really wonderful. Well, let's slide 8 here. Romans 8:39. I just want to remind you what's written to you, okay? We've been looking at different verses. We've been working the Word here this morning quite detail. I trust you've been able to follow along. We got a big Bible here, so I can't cover the whole thing this morning to whom it's addressed. But hopefully this key will get you started somewhat. But in Romans 8:39, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Isn't that fantastic? Can you walk with great confidence in your life because you know this verse? Can you walk with great victory, more than a conqueror? Sure you can. Sure you can. You're not going to be cut off. No way. We have the precious Word of God that stands the test of time. And as we work the Word and unlock the Scriptures and see what God has designated for us, we can walk boldly and confidently with the power and the love of God, okay? Amen. So, Father, thank you for the richness of your Word that you've made available, that we can know what is addressed to us. We can walk with great confidence and boldness, knowing that you do love us. Nothing can separate us from your wonderful love. Thank you for all the many other truths that we see in your Word, especially what's addressed to us, and that we can walk with great power and love and victory in our lives and share it with other folks so that they can see how big your love really is. So thank you, Father, for your Word and how you love us and take care of us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.